As part of our scripture reading, I'll read Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and I'll begin in verse 1. All the tax collectors and all the sinners drew near to him, that him being Jesus, and to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search it carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' And likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6 now. Leviticus chapter 6, I believe, was a portion that I don't think I was out here for whenever we were studying. I believe I was in the back. One thing we noticed in the back was something, and I'll be honest, kind of Jet, I think, pointed it out, and then I caught on to it. So let's read in verse 8. Hopefully this is something that we called to our attention in studying through this, but I want to bring it up again. I'm so glad and thankful that we take the time to study through the Old Testament, because as we looked at today, we go through and read the book of Hebrews, and all of the book of Hebrews is relating the things that happen in the Old Testament, the priests, the sacrifices, the cleansing, the atonement, to ways that we have to work within our parameters today. For instance, 1 Peter chapter 2, we think of verses 5 through 9, talking about how we are a royal priesthood. And so when we're reading the parts of Leviticus that are dedicated to the priest, well, some of those things are analogous to us today. So I want to call your attention to something in Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, we're going to read in verse 8. This is the law of the burnt offering. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it.'" That's going to be our key phrase. "Shall be kept burning on it." Pay attention to this fire. "And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and on his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place." Verse 12. "And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it." Okay, well, that's twice now. We've mentioned the fire on the altar is going to be kept burning on it. Anytime God mentions something once, it's important. Twice is doubly important. He's going to mention it 3, 4, 5 times. So let's keep reading. "The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings." All right, notice verse 13 now. "A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Okay, that's three times within 8 through 13 that we've mentioned this fire and how important it is, and it shall never go out. So if we think about, okay, what is the analogy here? Well, we're a royal priesthood. We are continually offering these spiritual sacrifices. We have to make sure that our fire never goes out. So we can't put the fire out. So if we say verse 12 says, "The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out." We cannot put things, put that fire out, and we cannot put it out with cares of the world, would be my first point. Look in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, a parable of the sower. Verse 22, we'll skip a good ways into the parable. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns, and who is he who hears the word, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." That fire goes out. We can't be too involved with business affairs, with family affairs, community affairs, social affairs. We cannot be so involved in these things that puts our fire out, because God's told us three times in Leviticus not to let that fire of worship go out. We can't let the fire be put out with the sins of this world. That's the sinful attitudes, defeatist attitudes, hypocritical attitudes, antagonistic attitudes, sinful actions. We cannot let come even close to this fire. That's why it's so important that uncleanness is kept far outside the camp. Because within the center of that camp is supposed to be the center of worship. It's supposed to be God. Okay, well, what's the center of us? That's our soul, our conscience, our mind. And God should be in that. And so we have to keep all uncleanness away from us. We looked in verse 13 of Leviticus chapter 6, talking about don't let the fire go out. Not only don't let it be put out by other things, but don't let it go out. So it can go out by not keeping the fire refueled. By not keeping it refueled, the ways that we keep the fire refueled would be through the renewing of our minds, the meditating on of scriptures, the benefiting from mutual exhortations in plain words. That's the showing up to services. That's the attending Bible studies. That's the being hospitable, being a good neighbor, being a good brother. All of those are ways that we cannot let the fire go out. And we can let it not go out by continuing to stir it up, stirring it up from memory, stirring it up to action. We can think of places like 2 Peter chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 25. Let's turn there and read that very briefly. James chapter 1 and verse 25. Stirring up our minds to action, stirring up that fire, that zeal within our hearts, keeping the uncleanness away from us. James chapter 1 and verse 25 saying, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, that's not just thinking about it, that's an active doing, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And finally, we're going to skip a little bit ahead in Leviticus to chapter 10, skipping ahead from chapter 6, we've gone through this in our study, but go to Leviticus chapter 10, and this fire is mentioned once again. And those of you that are good Bible students know that this is when the profane fire is brought to God. So you look in verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense in it, and offered profane fire before the Lord. Well, what was wrong with this fire? It was something contrary. They were swapping out the fire that God had prescribed that should never be put out with some of their own fire. Whatever place this fire came from, it was not to be in this spot. So how is that analogous to us today? Well, don't swap things out. Whenever God says to do it a certain way, let's not swap things out. That's don't swap the Lord's fire out for unauthorized fire. This can be unauthorized worship. John chapter 4 and verse 24, worship in spirit and in truth. That could be unauthorized work. That could be the Lord's fire being decent, orderly, thoughtful worship, and swapping that out with worship that can be more appealing to the human senses, louder worship, more emotional worship. Could be different ways of thinking, and we'll mention a couple of isms right here, Pentecostalism, emotionalism, sensationalism, spontaneity, any of these things that we're taking from outside of God's Word and swapping them and putting them in that place. That's wrong. We've said that we're the royal priesthood, and we looked at the example set in Leviticus. Well, the people who swapped out God's fire were struck down. Go back to Leviticus chapter 6, and we'll close out. If we take nothing away from today, I want you to take away verse 12, verse 13. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn the wood on it every morning, lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn it with the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13 reiterates the same point from God. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. So let's never let our fire go out. Never let our fire go out in all these different ways. Whatever we're trying to supplant that fire with, let's think of the cause and effect of Nadab and Abihu, okay? The offering of profane fire, swapping it out, and then there was a death that occurred after that. So let's not let the fire go out. Let's be the lights into the community so that people can see the fire that's within us, the fire that we can call that zeal, we can call that love for God, but especially the fire of truth. That's the true fire that God is talking about, the one that God established. Remember, fire came down from heaven. That fire comes from God. So let's remember these things as we go throughout this week. If there's any way that we can help anyone who is here in this audience this evening in way of encouragement, in way of spiritual encouragement, physical help, we bid you to come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.